Blog Talk Radio.
This is Sanakori, the host of Indigenous Power Hour Activism, and I'm here with my soldier rapper activist of the indigenous way, 4-1. My soldier, how are you?
I am well. What up, Turtle Island? How are we doing this evening?
Nice. I can see that turtle wagging its little tail, and I see some movement. Nice. All right. All right, man. I'd like to thank everyone who is live, and also I'd like to thank all you future listeners who are downloading this show. Please spread the word. Indigenous Power Hour activism. This is a weekly show. Why? Because we want to expose the horrible reality of the human and sex trafficking industry. And please, can you, 4-1, please tell us what is it? Missing,
murdered.
Uh-huh.
Indigenous relatives. That's the new acronym to be inclusive, you know, because we've got murdered men, boys. And here in Nebraska, that is what the epidemic is. We have more missing men and boys than our women. And either men, women, children, that is unfortunate, you know?
Yo, you know what's crazy? I don't know if they have the app in Nebraska, but it's called Citizen App. I don't know. Is that active over there? Citizen App.
I don't know what that is.
Okay, it's an app.
What is that about?
It's an app you download on your phone, and it tells you where the crime, if there's crime in your area or throughout the city.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so every day.
MMIW did create an app too.
Solely
for our missing and murdered.
Is it still active there? Tell me.
Yeah, no, it's a new app, and it is a place for us to report, you know, our missing and murdered, because you know, a lot of states there is just no there's no tracking. I mean, you know, that LB 154 in Nebraska, that was only approved last year, June 1st. And that's because there is no, you know, off of federal land, there is no law that states that anybody has to pursue crimes against indigenous.
What? That is crazy. This
really? Absolutely. And before, you know, we started the, you know, we passed that law finally, because we were one of six states. But the closest thing we had to even getting help on or off the res focused solely for our indigenous women was the violence against women. And I hate to say it, it expired, and we are waiting on current President Biden to, you know, sign it back into an act of law.
No,
but
damn.
Yeah, there is no law there, you know, at least state-wise that they have to pursue any crimes against indigenous.
Yeah, that is so crazy.
Off of federal land. So think of all your urban indigenous. There's not a law that states that should they be murdered, raped, assaulted, house broke into. There's no law statewide off federal land that says and law enforcement has to go against persons committing those crimes. So at this point, with it being inactive, at least violence against women, we really need an act pertaining to any violence against indigenous male or female.
That's right. That's right. Man,
so
that is crazy.
I encourage everyone to go to their state representatives and ask them to, you know, reactivate that law.
And wow, that is crazy. That's an effort right there to get that open.
Yeah.
You know, in the citizen app that I have every day, I see, it's sad, you know, because anyone could really write some, can report something, and you always hear these dads, you know, reporting their daughter's missing, 14-year-olds, 13-year-olds, 12-year-olds, and then, you know, people asking, yo, any updates? Yeah. And the dad is like, still looking. I'm like, what the hell? This is like a daily thing. This is crazy, man.
It's absolutely. Just... And it's been ongoing for 1492. It's been
there
an epidemic since then. And
you know,
actually, sorry, go ahead.
No, the profile is Mexican, Puerto Rican. I see a pattern on that, you know. It's just like, what the hell? This is crazy. But tell
absolutely.
Me, yeah.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Well, what I was going to say, the statistics, no matter, honestly, what state you choose, the common, you know, age group that of our missing indigenous,
mm-hmm.
are ages 21 or younger.
Damn, that's tragic. That is a crime against humanity.
It exactly, and it is a what is that refer? It's a threat to life expectancy. But it's a health risk. It should be publicly, you know, like the CDC will deem, you know, factors, you know, environmental, you know, ethnic factors of, you know, what are our for our death rates?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
For, you know. And like our men, the threat is interaction between law enforcement.
What do you mean in what sense? Tell me about the law enforcement.
It is a cause, the stress that of those interactions is a health threat.
Definitely.
To our,
it's
absolutely.
The thing that comes to my mind is a genocidal campaign.
That's no sign.
But who's,
you know, absolutely.
But who's part of this campaign?
Well, like I just had told you that it's a threat to our life expectancy, and it's the reason it being a stress factor for the reason why, you know, some of our men are dying, and why it is a, you know,
there you go.
Just the overall stress of the interaction and the constant threat.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's the reason for the shortened life expectancy rate compared to other males.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's interesting. I remember when I first went to Montana, visit the Crow Nation. My friend who's a priest at this parish at Crow Agency, right? He gave me a rundown, like a protocols, kind of like, you know, what to expect, you know, be respectful and blah blah blah, right? But one of the things he said, 90% of the men you're going to meet, they're probably either actively taking drugs or alcohol, and you have to be careful, blah, blah, blah. And then he said something like 85% of the women. And that blew me away. Like, what? You mean 90% of the people I'm going to meet are going to be actively, like, either high or wanting to get high or some form of recovery or something? And I was like, and everywhere I went, not everyone, but wow, a high number. I won't say 90%, but it was definitely, everyone thought I had, once it got around, I was from New York. It's like everyone thought I had like dope, you know, and you know, it got around. I'm like, wow, man, it's like, you know, it's like, whoa, this is deep, man. This is like systemic, man. So, you know, who planted this, you know? This is like straight up. Like, whoever did this is going to take out this tribe, man. You know, that's what I was thinking. The same way the inner cities, the way they're taking out the inner cities with the drugs, you know,
absolutely.
The K2. It's like, so who's pushing this, you know? Who's pushing this on the people? You
well,
know, and I was,
what has always been known, who the biggest drug dealer is in the United States.
The biggest drug dealer, right?
Yes. Who is the biggest big drug dealer? It's always been, you know, referred to as the U.S. government.
Wow, that is so deep.
You want to talk about Montana a little bit?
Oh, before we go there, I remember I saw a movie. It was on Netflix, right? And it showed the Mexican cartel making bringing the drugs to U.S. And they showed these guys in the middle of the desert. These they were packing up these what do you call those? The metal drone. Man, I forget what they call. I can't talk now. It's like those metal containers. And that's what they had. That's what they had the mess, you know. And it was stocking up. And then one guy, I guess the reporter, was like, will this ever end? And then the guy had a mask on, right? And he laughs in Spanish. He's like, oh, nunca. He says, never, because the demand is too great. We can't keep up with the demand. And he referred to the United States, you know. So the government knows this. Why the hell are they not stopping it? You know, but that's it. Just stress that right there.
I seen something very similar to that recently. And
uh-huh.
Now they're lacing the mess with fentanyl to make it even more addictive.
Oh man. Yes. 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 It's,
and so
you know,
what those cartel members will do is they'll go and hide out on the res. And
what?
Because it's sovereign land. And a recent Department of Justice study said that from North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, Nebraska, Kansas, and Texas, Oklahoma included, most of the reservations have been overtaken by the Mexican drug cartel.
Wow, that's scary. That is scary.
It is very scary because now we're talking again about indigenous people.
Well, Mexico, the roots of Mayan, the great Mexica
indigenous
people. Like, what's going on, yeah, man? We're turning on each other.
Where'd your medicine go?
Wow.
You forgot to remember? You forgot to remember who you are?
But that's a setup, right? That's been since 1492, no, right? Divide and conquer.
Absolutely. Residual effect of colonial, you know, colonization is dependency.
So we're seeing it live and well.
We've been seeing it live and well. How they come in. How did they, come with them treaties and them agreements that they never, you know, held their end on? How did we even know alcohol?
We didn't know it, man.
Right, it wasn't part of our medicine, you know.
Well, alcohol and wow, whiskey and all that. That's just. This is over the edge, you know, over the top.
Yeah.
We just couldn't handle that. That's just amazing. That's just we're up against a lot. We're up against a lot, and hopefully in these, you know, every week we're gonna be hitting. We're gonna bring the truth uncensored. You know, we're gonna bring the truth and try to support people out there, right?
Absolutely, because what's important is that we remember to remember. That we remember who we are. We are the truth.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And, you know, we can heal from anything. We're resilient people. We are still here. So there ain't a thing in this existence that we can't overcome. And I encourage any one of the over, what is it, 540+ tribes?
Right.
You know, of Turtle Island alone, I encourage every single member, every, you know, everyone to remember, because it's just, it is just, you know, we can't constantly be having an identity crisis.
Yeah.
You know, and we can't allow anyone else to tell us who we are. We're not alcoholics. We're not meth heads. Mm-hmm. We're not opiates, addicted people. Mm-hmm. You know,
exactly.
Like I said, we're very resilient. We are strong and we are still here. And that's the strength that we need. We need to, you know, gather from to utilize, you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know that there's a great documentary called Dakota 38. It came out in 2012, and it's based on a vision of Lakota, one of your people, Jim Miller. Jim Miller, a former Vietnam vet, spiritual leader, and he, you know, when you look at this movie, I'm not going to give it away, but when you give it away, it underlines resilience, you know, resilience, and bringing back the values of what it is to be Lakota, you know, warrior, and sticking together no matter what. You know, this movie is amazing. It's called Dakota 38. But there's a great quote in there by Jim Miller that just like, I use it once in a while. And it talks about the reality of, hey, we don't need the white man anymore. We do it to ourselves. And he's talking about the drugs. He's talking about the crime, native on native, you know, the rapes, the sexual abuse, you know, he highlights all that. So that's, you know, we got to see ourselves in the mirror, you know. So
we do, because what we've been looking at, it ain't our own reflection.
That's
it. It's not our own reflection. And, you know, it's time we draw back that hand. What the fuck we need a handout for? We have the knowledge. We have the intuitive. We have the, you know, we're self-starters. We know what it takes, you know, to thrive.
That's right.
And we have what it takes. You know, we're the ones who taught societal, you know, the whole object of society, of living in communities. You know, we brought that.
Yeah.
We, you know, that comes from us.
Sure.
We're not savages.
Wait, but a lot of people say it comes from the aliens.
Right.
All the knowledge, right?
Right. No, you're correct, because the government referred to us as aliens.
That's true.
So.
Wow.
Think about that. About that. So yeah, it's true. We're the alien being that created it.
Well, that's it. You know, that's if you want to say it, that's right. We're aliens. You know, what's that passport, right?
We are considered subjects or aliens according to the Constitution.
Yeah, but you know, I want to say that there's that congresswoman from the Laguna Pueblo Nation, Deborah Halen, she was nominated for the head of the Department of the Interior, which just blew my mind away. Like, what? Department of the Interior, they're always the bad guys, you know? Now she's going to be the first native to run it as a carrier position. And then the freaking, I was listening to the questionings, you know, from the Republicans. And they were like, yeah, we have concerns. You know, you might be a little too radical when it comes to your stances on public land use and fossil fuels. I'm like, are you kidding me? Radical? You're saying this in front of a native woman? that she's too radical?
Were they not just utterly disrespectful?
That's like, I don't know, man. Okay, I think it was a stupid example. That's like telling Santa Claus there's no Christmas, you know? Or you know, like, I don't know, that's a stupid example, but first thing I thought of.
Right.
But that thing,
I was going to say something, but, you know, it's cool.
But that takes arrogance.
Come back.
You know?
Come back, Santa Corey.
That's some racism, man. That's racism in front of TV, you know? Like,
absolutely.
Let's break that down. Too radical? What the hell is that? too native, right? That's what it is for me. Too native, right? Tell me.
I will give the apology to Deb that the government will never give her. You know, Deb.
Oh, really?
I am sorry that you were disrespected the way you were.
Yeah, that's some. When I saw that, I'm like, what? You know? That's crazy.
It is. But that's why it's so important, us as sovereign people, that we decolonize, we organize, and we re-indigenize.
There you go. Well, that is it. It's like, this is it. It's our time now to step up and do what we can, you know? You know, the last time I was in Montana was back in 1997. One of the elders there, Irving Singsga Stewart, he was a peyote Roman leader there. And he gifted me with the Hadopoor, the sweat lodge ceremony. It was the most... To date, it was the most beautiful experience I ever had in the spiritual way, you know? And I brought that to my people because I told him about what happened to us, the Taino, that it was stripped from us, it was taken from us, all our ceremonies. We lost all these lineages and, you know, and then he said, well, tonight I'm going to give you something to give to your people. And that was the Sweat Lodge. And so that was back in, yeah, man, So I was honored enough to spread that to Puerto Rico. There is a lodge in Puerto Rico, in Borinquen, in one of our sacred lands.
Beautiful. And what an honor, Santa Corey. That is an honor to be the one to receive that gift and to spread that knowledge to your people, to re-knowledge them, you know, to...
Right.
You know what I mean? Wow.
Because we lost it. Because we lost it all, man. What's that?
Oh, I was saying warrior.
Oh. No, man, I'll tell you. And let me tell you something. The crazy experience that night at that lodge, I felt like a child. I felt like a child. I was in my late 20s, but I felt like a child. Because, you know, as you know, in the sweat lodge, you know, you're naked, man. You're back to Mother Earth. And so he was whispering in my ear all the instructions, you know. And at one point, he said, okay, you're going to feel it really strong now, so get close to me. And he was like, you know, like a grandpa, you know. And I felt his skin, and I felt his love. It's like, okay, we're going to do this together, okay?
And then, who was that again?
Irving Singsgood Stewart. He's a Crow veteran. He's a veteran of World War II. He's a peyote leader as well for the Crow. So I didn't know what was going on. I was like, what? And it's like he sensed my anxiety, you know. It's like, so he held me tight. He held me, you know. He's like, all right, here he comes.
Yeah.
Boom, man, that intensity of the prayer. And, you know, it was like, but I never forgot that he was with me right there. You know, he didn't leave me, you know, he cared for me, you know. He wanted to make sure that I was taken care of. So that's the medicine. I feel like we got to take care of each other. We got to – this is going to be tough. This is going to be rough, but we're going to do it together, you know? So I try to teach that. I try to teach that to the people, you know, that we're doing this together, you know? It's going to hurt.
Wow, I'm just blown away by what you said, and especially at
where?
A young man in his 20s.
Yeah, I was in my mid-20s. Actually, let me give you the backdrop to this, okay? Real fast.
Take your time, because that is – share that. Share that, please.
Back in 94 was my first experience with the coronation in 94. And I went to a Swela ceremony, and it was like, whoa, like – this is my life. I want to come back to my roots. You know what I mean? And it kind of woke me up. And what happened was, because I was in the church. I was a brother. I was being groomed to be a priest in Cronation. So when I went to the Swela, I'm like, I want this. I don't want that. I don't want the church.
Right.
I want this. This is my church right here, the Swela Lodge. So what I did was I end up in Wisconsin. And in Wisconsin, we had land there, you know. So I actually built my own lodge. I did everything per diem, per verbatim what I learned, what I observed.
Right.
Because I'm a visual learner, so I did everything. So someone came to my lodge, right? And they're like, oh, my God, this is so great. I haven't experienced a lodge like this, but who taught you? And then I says, no one. I just did it myself, you know, blah, blah, blah. He's like, what? So he just, like, went off on me. Like, you just can't do this. You can't do it on your own. Like, ah. So then I got the guilt trip. Like, oh, my God, what the hell did I just do? And then what happened was, fast forward, 1997, I spoke to some of the people in Crow Nation. And I says, listen, this is what happened. I need to speak to an elder. You know, I want to be forgiven what I did, you know, because I was carrying this guilt, you know what I mean? Appropriation, whatever.
Okay, it wasn't guilt. You just didn't know that you were anointed, that you were, you know, that you had the authority. That's what you thought. You didn't have the authority, but you did.
Well, that's what I think. I just spirit just blew me, like, you know, I got to do this, you know. It took me 2 weeks to get all the material, get the stones. And, you know, it was in my heart and my brain. So then someone said, oh, you got to speak to Irving. He'll help you out. So that's when I met Irving Singsgood, you know, and he's like, oh, so what happened? And I explained everything, what I just said now. And he says, I didn't understand. I'm so sorry, you know, and I just want a member of the tribe to forgive me, you know. You know, I come from that Catholic tradition. So then he goes, well, tell me about your people. And that's when I told him that, you know, our all of our ceremonies were stripped from us. People think we're dead. We don't exist. Taino, da, da, da. And that's when he said, well, guess what? This is what I'm going to do. Tonight, I want to teach you. So that's what happened. So I looked at him like, what? You're not going to yell at me?
Right.
You're not going to punish me or something, you know, like, you're going to teach me? So that's when I knew I was back home, you know, I was back home, like, that was healing, you know, and like I mentioned before in the other show, you know, I was, you know, sexually abused by a priest, and I wanted to be a priest to prevent that abuse, you know what I mean? I wanted to protect the children, so, but now, I saw my true calling. I saw my true mission. That was, you know, the indigenous way. You know, I came back home to heal. You know, to heal.
Yeah.
So that's it. But that's why I said, I saw this video today, this documentary, and let me see. Let me look at the title of it. I wrote it down here, and I have to watch it again.
Can I remind you real quick about a conversation we had recently?
What's that? I believe
it was our last show, but
mm-hmm.
Remember you brought up the fact that that's what we do as tribes, is we share our medicine.
Oh, man, you're right. And that's And that's what happened, you know.
Exactly, and that's why I applaud you for taking it to Puerto Rico.
Yeah, man. Juan Gonzalez lives on this land that's ancient, and we built it. And you know what hit something crazy? Hurricane Maria destroy most of the trees, right? So a lot of the wood, we couldn't find enough wood to this is gonna sound crazy. We couldn't find enough wood to build a lodge, you know. So what happened was, he said, "Wait, I have an idea." You know, we were people there to help, and we were very disappointed. This was the Nawake community, and I was like depressed, like, "Oh my God, this was the day to do this," because I had to go back to New York. So he comes back with these plastic poles that they use for pipes.
The PVC,
they're like plastic
PVC
pipes.
Poles.
So he said, "Can we use this?" And I looked at it like, "Oh my God, plastic pipes!" And I saw the people that came to want to participate, and it says, "You know what? Let's do it." And then I said, "Eventually, you know, once nature comes back, you know, from the Hurricane Maria, you know, we can get wood, but let's do this today." So there's pictures of it. I'll send you pictures. We built a lodge with plastic pipes, man, and it was the best lodge ever. It stood the test, you know. But
I absolutely believe it, and you know, I just wanted to go in real quick. You know, that don't make a lodge. The building material doesn't make a house. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's what the intent, what the reason is that makes a home a lodge. You get what I'm saying? It has nothing to do with the material part. That's just a materialistic, you know, ideology.
Definitely.
So do away with that. You know, what you did with it.
That's it. That's it. And it was, I mean, the spirit just moved all of us. It's like, you know what, this was going to be a great day. And I was disappointed. We can't get enough trees, you know, because everything was destroyed after Hurricane Maria. There was not even green grass. So, but then we said, he brought these poles out. And then everyone's like, yes, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. So it had to be done, right? So
it got done.
Yup, and it got done. And you know what's crazy? Okay, this is the best part. Ready for this? There was several people were there, and especially this one woman. They were afraid to come into the lodge because they were many of them were Christian, so they felt like it was against Christianity to do this. So I tried to explain to them about the ceremony, but you can see the shackles in them. You know, like the shackles were like they were afraid. You know, and you know, in the name of the church, whatever. But after we did the ceremony, one lady came to me and one man and says, "Can you do another ceremony for us? Because we want to do it. I heard you guys, and oh my God!" So I did two lodges, man, 8 rounds that night.
Wow. Well, I was just gonna say, you know, that's just part of that colonization.
Oh my God!
That patriarch system.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? We don't have a patriarch system that would separate us. We're a matriarch system. So now I gotta, you know, be respectful to those tribes that do adhere to some of those ways, because there are, and I'm not gonna lie, there are many tribes that have that practice that men and women can't sweat together. And if they do sweat together, they have to be separated. So women, you know, towards the east and the men towards the west. It depends on, you know, your tribal practices, but, you know, my brother, he's a fire starter. Big shout out to Michael Flores, aka Luke Warmwater, because that's that's my Indian name for my brother. It's just a joke, but my brother's a fire starter, so you know he so he is the one who gets those ever loving rocks ready.
Oh, yeah, man.
For the sweat, and he has the authority to pray for others. And, you know, my brother, when I got sick last year, and no joke, just on a sudden onset of vomiting, and I'm don't mean to be graphic, but it's one day, you know, it's coming out both ends, and it went on for about 3 days, and it got to the point where I had to be hospitalized, and so I ended up staying a week, and 13 ulcers. Now, how does a person just all of a sudden have an on a sudden onset of 13 ulcers? You know, I don't even have a lifestyle that supports it. You know. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I went to my brother. Well, actually, my brother came to me and was like, let's go. We're going to go sweat. And I blessed the first 7 rocks. And when we walked out after 77 rocks. And,
Oh,
you know, damn, 77. Yeah. We sweated 77 rocks.
Wow, that's powerful
stuff. And let me tell you something. My niece, his daughter, Mariah, and I love you, Mariah. I love you. me and my niece, we have the same birthday. But my niece brought her infant. And do you know that baby sweated with us?
What? Damn.
That's the story I think is important for people to know about how strong we are.
Definitely.
I can testify and bear witness that my niece, Mariah Flores, and her newborn, you know, that baby, I would say maybe, you know,
yeah.
3 or 4 months old. And that baby was strong.
Uh-huh.
That mama was strong because this woman just had, you know, she had a baby. And, you know, I didn't know how powerful our medicine was.
Didn't.
You know what I mean? Because I brought my children. I had my children all there with me, and my grandbaby.
Nice.
And they too sweated. So, you know, I'm sure you've heard about them sweats. You know, in other states where they had people dying. You know.
Oh my God! Yeah, I remember that. Yes. Oh man.
Yeah, I don't know what they were doing there. I honestly cannot say. Oh. I can.
It was concrete slabs, right?
I've never been to a sweat where somebody needed medical attention. It was all those that needed medical attention.
Jeez.
That came to the sweats, and either came out of those sweats completely healed or on their journey to healing.
Wow.
I don't know a person who sweats that has seriously health issues or personal relationship issues. I don't, you know, it's just, it's balance. It's that connection with the Creator. What I mean? Because you know, in any, pretty much any religion that, you know, that you can refer to, there's some point of fasting or something, some process of elimination, you know, whether it's giving, like a practice of, to show you the Creator, you know, in efforts of showing your humbleness, you know, they give things away regularly, you know, or even the fasting.
Exactly, yeah.
There's some process, but I just know that I've never, you know, I've never, first of all, I don't know who runs Bad Sweat, because people who run Sweat are not on that lowered vibration in the first place.
Yeah, that's crazy,
you know what I
mean? Man. With people
so
like that.
For whatever happened in wherever that happened at, I just, you know, that was something that wasn't medicine, if you ask me. You know, I just, I can tell you that when I left that sweat, you know, and I went back in because I had to have a 3-month checkup, all 13 of those ulcers were gone. And that ain't ulcers. That ain't ulcers. Ulcers, you get more, but they don't go away.
Interesting.
You know what I
mean?
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know when I did the lodge ceremony, I was very careful telling the people that this is not 100% Crow Sweat Lodge, because it's just a setup, you know, and I told them. But then I educated them about how our ceremonies used to be, and is, you know, and how it's similar and stuff, and we made it was like we created a new tradition, you know, like a new way,
yeah.
You know.
Well,
inspired.
I don't even want to say it's a tradition. I just think there was maybe some of that lost knowledge, that lost identity, you know,
it.
That or stolen.
Wow. That's
you
it.
Understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
because
we. Oh, mm-hmm.
I just know that there are absolutely those, you know, our practices are pretty much consistent no matter the tribe.
That's true. Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? There is something similar, there's something relatable.
That's shared
knowledge,
mm-hmm.
that shared medicine, what we're supposed to do.
Definitely, exactly, and then it came full circle when Irvin connected the dots. This is okay. This is what we do now. Bring it to your people, and then when you do the research, it's like, wow, we had something very similar. The Juanada, you know, a place apart for cleansing. You know, and for healing.
Well, in the
creation stories, there was a famous, his name was Juan Mateo. He was the Taino. He was the first one to learn Spanish, how to read and write. So he wrote as much stories. Uh-huh. What happened?
That's not who they burned, is it?
Oh, no, that was Hatue. That was Hatue.
Okay.
So my theory was he tried to write as Guatibaba. He tried to write as much as he could on paper, knowing that their time was limited, the way the Spanish was so ruthless. But eventually he did get killed by the other chiefs because they realized that he was spreading his knowledge and stuff to the Spanish so they can control them. But I think my theory is that he tried to just put it all down before it's lost. And in one of those stories, he talks about, in the creation stories, the first medicine woman took the first major chief, and he took him to a place apart. They call it the Guanada. And there she used some healing herbs to help him, you know, to heal. You know, so you can interpret a place apart, Guanada, as maybe as a structure, you know, that was built to cleanse, you know.
I just think it's language, a difference in language.
That's it. Exactly. Yeah. So when I saw that, I'm like, wait a minute. Cleansing, you know, they're teaching something here, you know, about the importance of cleansing, going to a place apart. And taking the time to heal. I'm like, yo, that's it. So Irvin didn't know that. But the spirit knew, right? That's it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right? So that's that's the I'm getting goosebumps right now. That's the healing, you know.
Look, I was gonna say that, but okay.
All right. So here's the thing. I went to see this documentary today in preparation of this show, and the name is called Indigenous Women Keep Going Missing in Montana, and then the first people I saw, they were from Hardin, which is it's the border to Crow Nation, and they're talking about all these young women going missing, these young girls, and it's like, what the hell? And it's like, don't tell me from 1997 to now this is going on. And some of the names I recognize, like Plain Bulls, and I'm like, oh my God, this is horrible. What's going on? You know? In
right.
Montana. Oh boy. So it kind of broke my heart.
Yeah. So shout out to my cousin Cleveland Gunhammer in Billings. Stay and let everybody know where you're going. And that's something I want to encourage. You know, our listeners, this is 2021, and you need to let people know where you're going. Check in. And those, you know,
word.
The others that ain't going nowhere, check on yours. Check on your brother. Check on your sister, your nephew. Check on ours.
Definitely.
You know, because it's what's that meme that's going around? About being indigenous, that it's lit at AF, but it's kind of dangerous. You're right. It is dangerous to be indigenous for one.
Wow.
And
that's right.
You know, and, you know, this is one of the life lessons I've got to teach my own, my children, my grandchildren.
Right.
The dangers of being indigenous and being female or male.
It's out of control, yeah. And it's like, I was listening to the documentary saying a lot of these places, and I remember Big Sky, right? Big Sky, you see the planes. There's no cell phone cover. There's no cell phone Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
You know, there's no coverage, and it's like you're in the middle of nowhere. Sometimes if someone can easily take you, and that's, you know, my God, it's like a death trap almost.
Oh yeah, that's the problem. Just, you know, pretty much in the Midwest as far as Indian country goes, because there's no coverage in North Dakota. There's no coverage in South Dakota, and there's no coverage here in Nebraska, nowhere in the flatland. You feel me? There's no coverage.
That's a setup right there. If you cut communication, if you cut the communication of the people, what where's the safety? You know, where's the news? Right?
Exactly. And where's the law? There's no law. Let's talk about, so let's bring it back. So no law in place, off the res that states, shall a crime be committed against indigenous, there is no law off of federal land, so off the res, that law enforcement has to seek a predator or those who commit crimes against indigenous.
There's no law to protect the indigenous person if they're off the res? That's what you say?
Off the res.
So you got no
off
rights.
The res. Back to the alien and subject reference. We are not considered people.
Subhuman.
Absolutely. Savages.
Wow.
Aliens, subjects, you know?
Yeah, sure. I have friends that are part of the United Urban Warrior Society out in Rapids, South Dakota.
Rapid City.
And one of the things they were doing at first was escorting women to their homes because they would get raped. They would get, like, assaulted. I'm like, what the?
I swear. Okay. I told you I'm originally from South Dakota. So, Rosebud, what up? The Sangu Nation, I love you.
Nice.
But the, I later on migrated to the Belfouche area, which is right on the other side of Rapid. So right behind Rapid. But I tell you what, Rapid City is one of the most racist cities that I've ever lived in.
I heard so many bad stories, man. Like, politicians grow up like crazy.
It is. And look how COVID just tried to run rampant up there. But you know what? Big shout out to Natalie Stites Means, who does, and Candy Brinkflint. You know, and the rest all involved in taking care of our homeless up there.
That's another project they do.
Yes, the meals, the food, you know, because, you know, there is no homeless shelters up there.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's nothing for Indigenous or just people, period. So, you know, they got a little camp up there, and obviously, if they're just going to treat you bad every which kind of way, there's no resources, period, up there. Big shout out to those ladies and everybody involved in, you know, trying to do what they can with what little they got, you know?
It was crazy. I mean, I don't want to diss anyone in Billings who's not native, but I remember this is the true story. I went to Taco Bell, right? I love Taco Bell. I try not to eat it now too much, but...
Taco Bell.
So I found a Taco Bell, like, oh, man, this is cool. I was with my wife at the time. And I was like, chill, they got Taco Bell. So I dogged it, you know. And then the last taco I ate, it just didn't feel right, you know. Like, oh, shit, I don't think they cooked it well. I don't think they cooked it well enough. All of a sudden, I start to choke. I went to the choke. Like, I was choking, like, like, you know. And then it's like, I got like, oh shit, I'm gonna die, like, wah! And then this white thing came out of my throat, and I looked at it. My wife looked at it and said, "What the fuck is that?" Oh, sorry, man. So, it's like, yo, what is that, man? It's like this white thing, and I unwrapped it, and it was a straw wrapper. So, instinctually, I opened up my taco, and it was like at least 7 of these rolled up straw wrappers mixed with the meat. So I went off. I'm like, yo. So I went to the manager and says, yo, you need some new cooks, man. But this is a setup, man. What is this, man? You know, I just went all like street. And then he was like, I'm really sorry. I don't understand. And then I saw like the cooks in the back and they're all giggling, you know. I'm like, yo, does this go on here? Like, I said it out loud. Is this what goes on here? And, you know, in Billings, you know? I was so upset, you know? And then we just left. And it was like, yo, this is – I never forgot that. I almost died in Billings over my God. That was crazy. But that's what I'm thinking of when you hear these stories in, you know, Rapid City and all these places against natives, crime against natives.
Oh, yeah,
like, I believe it, man. It almost killed me, you know? Like, no regard.
Yeah.
No regard,
none,
you know?
For life at all.
I mean, these guys were giggling. I feel like, you know, beating them up and stuff. But
I can
just
imagine what was all in it besides what you could visually and physically, you know. Oh, yeah. Wow.
But
well,
that doesn't shock you, right?
For that, too.
No, it's all right.
I apologize for that. You know? Sometimes
no, but that doesn't.
Yeah,
so you can, but that doesn't shock you, right? That story, right? Does it sound familiar?
No, no. It really don't, because I could top it off with an utterly disgusting story that has happened to, you know, somebody indigenous that I know, just based off of food, just based off of food.
Wow.
And the lack of regard for human life.
Yeah.
It's common.
This is real, man. I mean, when I came home, I still had a little trauma over it, because, you know, I could have, if I didn't like cough that up hard enough, you know.
Oh yeah.
Like, what the hell? Like, this is like, those cooks, they know who I was. They know,
right.
Like, you know, that, you know, I just got married and, you know, whatever. And I'm here to visit my crow friends. And, you know, if they would have succeeded, I never would have had that lodge experience. I never would have, you know what I mean? It's like, that's it. It was over. So,
right.
And guess what? These missing, murdered indigenous women and relatives, they didn't have that. Oh my, I don't even want to say it, but they, you know, a lot of these people succeed in killing, you know, and raping. They succeed, you know, those cooks in Taco Bell did not succeed.
Absolutely.
But unfortunately, a lot of them do. And what is that, man? What is that? How do we stop this? I don't know. How do we stop it?
We've got to encourage, you know, we've got to encourage our visibility, for one.
Visibility,
Visibility, I believe. And until we are completely sovereign and we do away with tribal councils, because those tribal, you know, the whole tribal council, that's government, Ryan. You know what I mean?
Man, tell me about that. So you don't want, so you say tribal government is, it hinders, huh? It oppresses the people?
Yeah, we need to do away with tribal government and put back in place what we had as a tribal government. You know, what we, how we did things, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Because it didn't involve no tribal council, that's for sure.
That's right. There was a lot of, you know what? I was talking to this Navajo woman recently, and she was telling me that the Navajos, they're starting to talk about having like delegates, like delegations and stuff, representatives,
right.
and do away with the tribal council. Maybe use like delegates, you know, delegate of this, delegate of that, and it's like, I know in Taino culture, we had the leader, the chief. He was like he made sure everything got done, you know.
Right.
And then they had all these sub chiefs, all these sub leaders, and everyone had a role, and they all reported back to the main guy. But his job was to make sure everyone's tight, you know. And that person reported to the grandmothers. The chief reported
absolutely
to the grandmothers.
That's what I was gonna say. And I can guarantee you, I bet you your chief reference or who he chopped it up with besides Schrader was either his wife or his mother. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Or the mother-in-law, right? I think. Wait, it's like the mother. Because I know when a Taino male married, he had to now move into the bohio, the home of the in-laws.
The mother.
So he followed his wife where she went. Wasn't the other way around.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
He had to go to the mother-in-law.
Yeah.
So that's it. And the Spanish wrote about that. The Spanish wrote about that. And they criticized. Was that?
I said, and wins are over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you know, we've got some relatives, closer to the Andes Mountains.
Oh yeah.
You know? We got some relatives over there, and actually the women are allowed to take multiple husbands.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're you know, that's one of the ways that many indigenous tribes, you know, they didn't practice the monogamy,
mm-hmm.
you know, the one-on-one relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They had some would have practices of you know, multiple husbands or multiple wives, and
right.
the purpose was to strengthen the family. You know, the dynamics, the everyday goings on, or you know, or to bring wealth. You know.
Yep. And
so
that's it. And I think the greatest challenge, and I'm reaching out to the men right now who are listening, and I put myself in this, I'm preaching to myself now. It's like, you know, we have to return to honoring the woman again, you know, because.
Absolutely.
You know, and you know, I love, maybe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I read somewhere, one of the books that I have in my library, is that it was the man that used to braid his wife's hair. And if it was nice and tight, nice and well done, it showed
mm-hmm.
the love that the husband had for the wife.
Yep.
You know, and that's gone. Man, I see that kind of way, you know, like, wow, it's with the colonization, it's like we put all the pressure on the woman to produce.
Look at how we, you know, the strength and the value that we have for our men having long hair. The overall strength in hair, period. You know, that's our crown. That's our headdress.
You know, Sven, I get that all the time. I say, hey, when are you going to cut your hair? Or, oh, you should cut your hair. I'm like, nah, man, it's my hair, man. You know, this is my hair.
Right.
It ain't going anywhere. People don't get
it, you know?
They're like,
yeah,
uh-huh.
And there's some tribes that will take a hot knife.
Uh-huh.
If you cut the hair, okay, so you know, many of us indigenous tribes have the practice of, you know, in the morning practice, we will cut our hair.
Oh, right.
You know, yeah, you know, if a loved one dies, you know, the that process.
Yeah.
You know?
Ah, right, then, yes.
And we go into that mourning for a year plus, so. We avoid all social, you know, interactions, you know what I mean? Like celebration type things, you know, out of respect for our loved ones. Now, there are some tribes that will mourn up to 3 to 4 years before they come out. They'll cut the hair in the beginning.
Yeah.
And when they come out of mourning, there's a ceremony where they comb the hair.
Mm. Interesting.
You know? Yeah,
it's all starting around hair. Hair is, you know, in the Caribbean too, we have this we call them promesas, promises, where we'll shave our hair, you know, for a special intention, or maybe we're praying for someone, or death, someone dies, and we cut our hair. And see, there you go. That's the similarities.
Well,
you
and
know?
The remember when I was talking about when you go through that humbling process, you know, like either fasting or giving away.
Right.
It's along that too. If you're cutting your hair for that purpose.
Where exactly. That's like, yes, you're right. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Wow. It's like the sacrifice. Yeah. It's almost like the sun dance, a mini sun dance, right? When you offer something back. Wow. See, it's all related.
Shout out
related,
to
Sundance.
Right? Pure in heart. Absolutely pure in heart and pure in spirit to Sundance.
Oh, yeah. It is. Oof.
That they have. Woo.
Yo, what hear a cool story? I suffer because of my experience of abuse. I suffer from anxiety and PTSD, you know, and whenever I'm triggered or whenever something goes off on me, you know, behind my neck, I get this intense pain that I have to stop what I'm doing and I have to chill, I have to breathe, I have to, sometimes I have to put like a warm pack on it. It's right behind my neck. I don't know if you ever have that experience. It's on the left side. It's one of those nerves that's behind the neck. Above your
above your occipital bone in the back of your head.
There you go, you got it. And
yeah,
and that messes me up big time.
Pressure point. And you get a knockback there. Do you get a knockback there?
Yeah.
That's like a pressure point. So that means from your third eye, from your third eye.
Okay.
That energy that was supposed to go on through your feet and out your hands, it got caught up there.
That's right. There you go. And you get this. I get this intense pain. I'm like, holy shit! I'm gonna get a stroke or something. Then I have to really relax, calm down, and massage it. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
But in '97, '94, I went to witness Sundance. And during the Sundance, Crow Sundance, they allowed you in a circle for prayer, you know, so the medicine people will pray for you. And it was a father and son. I forget their name. It was a father and son. So the son was the one that prayed over me, you know, and he had his eagle feather. And he's going throughout my whole body and stuff with his feather. And then, boom, he put the feather right in my neck, right where I'm talking about. That's where he put the feather, okay? And actually, this was before I was getting those symptoms, you know, really bad. And he presses it really hard with the feather. I felt it. I felt that energy flow. And then I looked at him like, And then I looked at him and I looked at him like, oh man. Like, and he looked back at me like he can see my future. Like he can see my pain, you know? Well, he saw my past. He saw my, and he saw my future, like, and like telepathy. He's like telling me, "You got to take care of that neck, man. You got to take care." Like he showed me, this is what you got to take care of, and that was powerful.
And it's not telepathy. I mean, that's the colonization word, but it's communication.
It's communication.
Yes, because that's how we, as spirit beings, that we are.
Uh-huh.
That's how we used to communicate. We didn't communicate with words.
That's right.
No,
that's
sign
right.
Language. It was here. It was here, and it was in our heart. You know.
He spoke to me. He showed me what I needed to do to heal forever.
Absolutely.
He told me with no words. Huh?
Yep.
That was deep.
Yep.
And, and then the Sundance drum was playing, you know, their songs. The dancers were dancing. I'm like, I'm in the middle of all this, and that's another gift I received, you know, like, oh my God, like what? This is deep. Like, and this is what they want to kill, right? This is
Absolutely.
Why they're killing the women. This is why they're killing the women. They're
yeah,
trying to kill
and
the, oh, the men and the men. They're trying to kill the men. They're trying to stop. Like, what you say in the teens and 20s?
Yeah. Well.
They're killing the future.
Our legacy. Our greatest asset. But back to the Crow Nation. Let me give you some numbers on that.
Okay, please. Yes, yes, yes. We got to expose this stuff.
Yeah. So as of recent, you know, reporting, Crow Nation had the highest reported missing. They had reported 23 cases. So for the overall state of Montana, there were approximately 170 active cases, okay? And of those 167 active missing people cases, 53 or 31% were indigenous that was missing in Montana. And Crow Nation reported, so So of those 53, 22 were alone from the Crow Nation.
Wow.
That's alarming. And those ages reported were 21 or younger.
Wow. That's the future. They're trying to cut the head of the snake, man. What the hell? That's not good. That's horrible. Now, I'm looking at the strategy. This is the strategy. This is no accident. Statistics don't lie. So how do we protect these young people?
Check on them. We got to check on them. We got to report to, you know, one another our whereabouts. We can start there. We can start with that accountability. If you got an issue because you got a wayward one, or I'm not even going to say wayward, but let me apologize for that. You got one in your family that you don't approve of their way. And that could be, and let me be clear about this. I am not pointing a finger at or trying to stereotype and say drug addict or drinks or, you know, let's throw that out of it. But let's say the one you don't approve of, you know, their ways. And, you know, honestly, I have been a black kid in my family for the longest. And what's so crazy is I'm the first grandchild of my generation. So I guess I've been the black sheep for 45 years. I don't know, but, you know what I mean? But you know, we've don't know what race, but we got those judgmental family members.
Oh, hell yeah.
And sometimes we let that ego get in the way, or what is that old cliche? Or, well, it's not even a cliche. It's really the truth. But your perception of me is a reflection of you, your way.
Oh.
You know what I mean? What one thinks about you is really what is in them.
Uh-huh.
Because how else can you identify or pass that type of judgment? Because in my mind, it takes one to know one.
It's looking at the mirror and saying, "Oh, I don't like that when I'm looking at."
Right.
So, oh man. Throw it out there.
So it means let's do away with that thinking and get back to family.
That's tribe, right? Family. That's what a tribe is, right? Family.
Right.
You break
so
it down.
Let's get back to those nurturing, caring. Yeah. You know, let's check on one another. Tell people where we're coming and going. You know what I mean? I don't understand, you know, that's something a lot of our young people, you know, do is they have this independent streak and they don't want to, you know, they want to come and go as they please and they feel like they got to report. Do away with that. This is 2021 and you have to let people know where you're going.
All right, you know what?
How are we going to know if you're gone or missing?
You just okay, check this out. I want you to critique this, okay? Tell me if I'm wrong. All right. But I remember 97 I was in Crow and also different communities that I've worked with as a social worker. Correct me if I'm wrong, but in a lot of cases, right?
Yeah.
I'll put it out there, okay? I'm gonna put it out there. We gotta be real, right?
Right.
But please stop me if I'm judgmental. I'm not trying to be I'm just trying to – I think I see a flaw in the system, and maybe this is one of the things we need to correct. But again, this is 97. Bring me back to 2021. Haven't been in Montana for that long. I've been in Wisconsin as well, and I saw it in Wisconsin as well. I see it in the inner city as well. I'll give you an example. When I was in Crow Nation, it was kids will follow me, you know, the kids that will follow me everywhere I went. They were curious, you know, where I got around, whatever. And it was specifically it was two children that just followed me everywhere I went, everywhere, you name it. They were there in the morning when I got up outside the church, you know. And, you know, I would talk with them and this and that. I went to the center they had there, play pool, whatever. And some wouldn't talk, just follow me, and some would. But it was two kids in particular, they will always hug me. They always want to hug, you know. They always want to be next to me, right? So I remember telling the priest, you know, Father, I feel very uncomfortable because, you know, I don't want people to think that I'm, like, hugging these kids because, you know, I'm a pervert or something. You know what I mean? And this is before the scandals came out. You know what he told me? And he says, well, they don't know about that. That's not in their consciousness. That's not in their mindset, you know, that you're going to do something to them. But then I said to myself, but they should know, you know, to be careful, not to trust strangers, you know, not to be. But I understand the whole, you know, culture and so on. But, you know, I see the inner.
So who told you that? Who told you that? I mean,
the priest. It was
did you
the priest.
That was one of the priests?
Yeah, that was sponsoring me. Yeah, yeah. So I found
see,
that.
I kind of disagree with that. I kind of disagree with
I
that.
I did
because...
too. I did too.
Okay,
it's like,
good.
Wait a
oh,
minute.
Okay, good. Okay.
These kids need to know. And then it's like,
absolutely.
No, it's not in their consciousness. They're in this, you know, they think the best of people. And you're talking about the crows in general. You know, it's
trying
to
keep
not
them vulnerable.
It's not
vulnerable.
Their reality. That's what he was saying. Is not. But I'm saying, wait a minute. They need to be educated that, hey, I'm a stranger, man. You got to, you know. And so I try to teach them that, you know. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, you got to be careful, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know if that's still going on. But kids need to know. They need to be taught. Like, yo, there's danger out there. There's predators
yeah, and
out there.
Why wouldn't huh? you? Because, I mean, again, it's 2021, but we have to equip our people with the proper, you know, warrior gear. I mean,
that's
armor.
That's it. You know,
that priest was trying to, you know. Per whatever, I don't know what the proper word is, but
yeah,
it was to keep them in a vulnerable state.
Right.
And unfortunately, we have not been in any space, environment, state, living condition, situation. We have very few safe places.
Right.
You know, that a person of who we are.
Right.
That has, you know, that they can call or say that they have. We haven't had that since 1492.
There you go.
So why aren't, no, we need to educate. We need to teach self-defense. We need to teach about the zone, proper conduct, you know, proper interactions between, you know, people, period, whether it's a juvenile, a child, or adult.
Yes. Exactly. I mean, let's be real here. I could have been a freaking pedophile, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what I wanted to say was, no, that was... I couldn't agree with it. So I'm glad that we were on the same page about that.
Argument's sake. Here we go. Let's be real here. Okay.
Keep it on 100.
Now I want to be ugly here, okay? Say I was a pedophile. Right now, I can tell you right now, I could have had at least 9 kids molested that were following me three definitely that they wouldn't leave my sight. They would, you know. So here you go. We gotta
teach
the kids.
So let me tell you about that.
We gotta teach
the
kids.
I believe your interactions that you had there from the teachings of the sweat
right
to those children. That was your spirit. That was your, you know, that was your righteousness. That was your goodness that attracted all of those teachings and those interactions. And, you know, big ups, you know what I mean? You're a very powerful spirit being.
Oh, thank you, man. It was just an experience that I say, oh, my God, these poor kids, you know. Like, I didn't get that, you know? So, I don't know. It's just like...
Well, just let me tell you. They always say children and animals, they know a person.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
You know what I mean? They know when evil and when good is present. And so don't take... You know, don't take anything away from those experiences other than, you know, truly, because those are yours. Those are your experiences. And so they're not anybody else's. They're yours. And that is the power that your spirit has.
Mm-hmm.
It's a safe spirit.
Right, exactly.
It's a loving. It's a creator-driven.
There you go. And, you know, and it reminds me when I came back to the inner city, you know, counseling, you know, young ladies who are like 14, 15 years old, dating guys who are 21, 22, 23, 25. And I'm like, what are you doing? Wait, hold on here, you know? And it's like, oh, my Lord. Stuff, you know.
Well, you know, they were looking for that nurturing, probably fatherly,
that's
you
it.
Know, in a relationship. But let me tell you, also, it was probably, you know, could have contributed to the fact that that's probably around the age range, in addition, but around the age range of their parents. And why they were seeking, you know, that you know, type of nurturing.
Yeah.
You know, that's the first thing a child is, you know, sexual is way further down when a child, you know, is near an adult, you know, or seek a relationship with an adult. The first is always a nurturing one, you know.
Definitely.
It's not a sexual, so it's probably that type of, you know, need, you know. So let me just say that you men out here and you women out here, be a woman and a mother to your children first.
Wow, beautiful.
And with the men. You men, you better be men and fathers to your children before you are to anyone else, you know?
Starts in the home,
that's
right? The family.
Important. Absolutely. It's always going to go back to the family.
That's amazing. It's just, that's it. Back to the basics, right? The basics.
Absolutely. The medicine.
That's it. Go back to the medicine.
And where do you find that medicine? You find it at home.
That's where it
all starts.
At home.
That's the floor plan, is it not?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
We need to go back to that because we are so far from, you know, who we are as people, you know, and it's time to go back home. You know, it's time to heal.
Enough is enough. We gotta heal. Enough is enough. Enough of the attacks. Enough of. No, you gotta do it like this, you know. Forget it, you know. Right? We just.
Enough of that low vibration. We need to raise our vibration.
Mm-hmm.
Raise our consciousness, raise our existence, raise who we are. Fuck
That's
what
it.
They've been saying. Fuck what, you know, sorry to my language, but forget that. Forget letting anyone else tell us who we are. Time to remember to remember.
Wow,
thanks,
I like that.
Man. Thanks, TM. Yeah.
We got a right to exist.
That's what he is. You know, that's what he's always saying is it's remember to remember. You
that's
know?
It, man. Remember to remember. That's so important. Wow. Well, Jack, guess what? We ran out of time. I think we could have done a marathon today. Go 8 hours. We would have been still going
that
strong.
Hour and hour here, you know what it is?
Oh, man. Well, let's close up the show. All shows are archived, you know, and I'm so happy if you're with us, listening to us. We're just trying to share the knowledge, right? We're trying to share the healing, right? That's it. We're trying
Absolutely.
To share it. We want to connect
you
people.
Play creator?
Yep.
It's
getting ready. Here we go. Hold on a second. I just moved it. My studio is a
little I love you, Pearl Island. I love you, Indigenous. It's time to heal.
It's time to heal, and we're going to heal. Woo! All right. Thank you, 4-1. Thank you for another Power Hour Plus. We went overtime. That's great. Let's do it.
Thank
See you next
Saturday.
Week. See you next Friday.
See you next Friday.
All right. Awesome.
Protected by your shield. One of the few still still own my soul, and my will is mine. Awake and not blind, tell me, Creator, am I one of the cries still heard by you? I need you right now. Right now.